you're listening to After Deadline. I'm Nancy McCarthy in the newsroom of the Daily Astoria newspaper. Today we are talking to our city manager, Rich Mays, city manager of Cannon Beach, and Cannon Beach Mayor Mike Morgan. We're going to talk about a lot of things going on in Cannon Beach, but especially the new Tourism and Arts Commission. This commission has the possibility of being a model for the state of Oregon. And we want to talk a little bit about how it got started and what its potential is. Rich, can you tell us a little bit about the Tourism and Arts Commission? What is it? How did it get started?
Sure, Nancy. It's been 2 years now when our mayor, Mike Morgan, before he was mayor, and a lady called Val Ryan, who runs the Cannon Beach Bookstore and is very involved with the arts in Cannon Beach, came to the city council and asked them to look at ways that we could better fund the arts community. And as you know, Cannon Beach has a culture of arts in its history. And so they instructed me as a staff member to look into it. So I started looking at different alternatives as to how we could better fund the arts. The idea of increasing our lodging tax came up. I got together with the hotels and got some buy-in there. And here it is 2 years later. We just a few months ago pass an ordinance that authorizes a 1% increase in the lodging tax, and 70% of that by law has to go towards tourism. So we worked out a way that we could fund the arts and tourism at the same time. So that money is going into a special fund and will be used to fund special events and programs that will increase tourism to Cannon Beach as well as enhance the arts community.
Mike, why do you think this is important? What is it about this particular commission and why the emphasis on arts?
Well, I was concerned a couple of years ago about the demise of the Haystack program in Cannon Beach, and that was a Portland State program that brought lots of teachers and artists to town for various classes. And because of Portland State's budget problems and other reasons, housing, they decided to terminate the program. So I approached the council and asked them to look into ways of funding the arts. So, as Rich said, this was the best way to raise a significant amount of money, which looks like it's going to be a couple of $100,000 a year for various programs. And Cannon Beach is an arts community. We have, of course, the Coaster Theater and the Arts Association and numerous galleries and that sort of thing. But I think to maintain our status and improve the arts, I think we need a boost in terms of some funding, and that's how this came about.
I think for a long time, Cannon Beach has been known as an arts colony. Do you think it still has that status, or has it moved on to do other things with the arts?
Well, it's an arts colony in the sense that there are the galleries and the coaster and a lot of people that are interested in the arts. But of course, you know, the housing costs are very high, and a lot of people, a lot of artists have been displaced because of that. This proposal doesn't really address that problem, but I think it's an arts oriented community, and of course, the arts are driven by tourism, people coming to town, staying in the hotels, going into the galleries, going to the coaster, coming to the concerts, all of that sort of thing. So, yeah, I'd say we're an arts community. It's certainly are a big chunk of our economy.
Rich, one of the ways of getting this Tourism and Arts Commission together was to increase the percentage of lodging tax. How did the lodging industry react to this proposal?
Well, I was very, very gratified that most of them were very warm on the idea. Like I had said before, I worked with this group of hoteliers for a year and a half, 2 years. And, of course, they were a little guarded at first, like what the money was going to be used for. But it didn't take long for them to figure out that what Mike just said is true, that the arts is a big part of Cannon Beach. Arts helps tourism, which will help their bottom line, and the tourism helps the arts, etc. So it's like a circle. So I was very encouraged that they were very open-minded and positive about the whole idea.
And it's 1%, is that right?
Yes, it's 1%, and I might want to point out that Cannon Beach still has one of the lowest lodging taxes in the state of Oregon, and certainly along the Oregon coast. At our local share now has gone from 6 to 7%, and that's still below most other cities.
And they, because you raised it by 1%, you had to follow a certain state law. Can you tell me a little bit about what that law requires?
Yeah, the law that was passed in 2003 by the Oregon State Legislature requires that any new lodging tax, any money generated from that, 70% has to go towards tourism, as tourism is defined in the state statute. So we're certainly, that's another thing we were working with the hotels and the Oregon Lodging Association, was to making sure that any extra money that came into the city by virtue of this tax would go towards complying with that state statute. And we were very, very conscious of that. And again, we worked with the hotels and the lodging association to make sure that happens.
So tell me a little bit about the commission and forming that commission. How many members do you have, and what do they represent?
Well, the council thought it was important that people that serve on the commission have a tie to marketing and advertising and public relations. And so that was one of the requirements, is that anyone that was interested in applying had to have those kind of credentials. I was it's very interesting that we had 11 applicants for the five positions. And I'm sure it was a tough decision for the city council and the mayor, but they finally selected five people that they thought represented the housing industry, the arts community, the general public, and had experience in public relations, advertising, and marketing.
And the organizations that apply for it, do they have to follow certain guidelines to be able to apply for the money?
Yes, we had a group. Mike was on the sort of a working group, myself and some of the aforementioned people from the Lodging Association and hotels developed these guidelines that is going to help the commission administer the fund.
And when do they start applying? When will you be distributing the funds?
The applications have gone out, and they're due on September the 1st. So all these groups, I'm sure, are working very diligently to put these applications together. And the money will start the first quarter of our fiscal year is July, August, September. The money is due at the end of October, so we will be ready at the beginning of November to distribute the money. But, of course, before that happens, the commission has a very difficult job in going through the applications and allocating the money.
And you're having a workshop next week, right, for the organizations that are applying for the funding?
On Monday at 2 o'clock. It's strongly encouraged that anyone interested in applying for the funds attend a workshop that the staff will be conducting to take them through the process and making sure they understand how everything works. I might add that months, this has been going on for, again, 2 years. I've been meeting with these groups all along. There should be no big surprises, but we want to make sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted accordingly.
Mike, what would you like to see come from this for the first year? It's really kind of an experimental year, I think, probably both for the application and the commission and this whole idea. But what would you like to see come from this at the end?
I'd like to see some significant events. I know it's important to fund what we already have been doing, like the Stormy Weather Festival and the spring unveiling and that sort of thing. But I think new events that would really put us on the map, so to speak. As I mentioned earlier, there's a proposal to bring a Pulitzer Prize winning author, historian, to town in January. That would be a significant boost at that time of the year. A lot of people would be interested in hearing him read and have a seminar and a discussion of his work. And Carol Knudsen from the community college is working on that proposal. I think some other folks are working on the idea of a music festival at some point. And I think what we're talking about here are events during the shoulder season in winter, because as you're aware, being a Cannon Beach resident, it's pretty hard to jam any more people into Cannon mm-hmm. Beach in the summer months. So we're talking about say September, October through May, I think that's what we're going to be looking at.
And do you see this funding going to current things that that are happening now, just bolstering the, for instance, the galleries or the Coaster Theater?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the Coaster and the Gallery Group or the Canopy Charts Association are probably looking at ways funding to support some development of their programs, whether it be a marketing director or somebody that can increase their membership and boost their financial situation in several ways. It's not really designed for just maintenance of existing programs. I don't think that's the intent of the law, but it's to try to get these organizations on a more solid financial footing by providing, as I said, a marketing director or something like that.
How will you know when it's successful? How do you measure success on this?
Well, I think that's going to be somewhat difficult, but I think that through word of mouth, and I think one of the requirements is that we're going to be asking organizations that are funded to keep track of attendance, and over the years, I think we'll be able to tell if it's successful. But there are a lot of other factors that go with attracting people to town, other than, you know, events and programs like weather and the economy and things like that. But we're going to do the best we can to monitor that and to try to ensure that, you know, we can keep track of that kind of thing the best we can. But it's going to be a difficult thing. I think everyone recognizes that.
And it's not money that's just going to be given to an organization and forgotten. You have a kind of a midterm evaluation, don't you, mm-hmm. during this? And
yeah, I think, for example, this. I think the evaluations would look at numbers of people that were brought to town for a particular event, whether it's a music festival or a film festival. You know, how many, you know, the term is heads, how many heads and beds, you know, is it generating? And if in the wintertime, you know, the hotels, say two or three hotels, partner with Carol Knudsen's group and fill up, you know, for a weekend seminar or event, you know, then that's a pretty good metric right there. So, yeah, I think that's a... there are ways of evaluating it. Otherwise, it's the money just kind of flows out into the ether and nobody really knows how to track it.
So, Rich, you mentioned at one of the meetings that this could be a model for the state. Has it been tried before elsewhere?
Yeah, we're aware of a couple of cities that have set up funds like this. My understanding of how that works is there seems to be some money in these funds that are not being utilized. And I think one of the goals from the outset was to make sure that this money gets utilized. It's in other words, it's spent. We don't leave the money in there year after year earning interest or anything like that. We're very determined to make sure that this money is allocated and administered properly according to the law and that the money gets spent.
And who oversees this in the state? Is this a tourism? Is there a tourism commission in the state that make sure that you're following the rules?
Well, I think there's certainly watchdogs in the community, and I think there's watchdogs in Salem, and the Lodging Association will probably be taking a close look at this. One of the things we did, I think, very successfully was to, as I said before, bring them in early in the process, and they were very helpful in helping form the guidelines that are going to administer the money. So I'm sure that, Mike said before, this, or maybe you had mentioned that this could be a model statewide. We're not sure of that, but certainly, we've gotten some calls about it already from other cities, and it could be something others try to emulate.
Well, I know that this is an effort to attract tourism in Cannon Beach, but we have other ways of attracting tourists as well. I know some ecotourism is being considered for Cannon Beach, and probably rightly so. Tell us a little bit about some of the things you're doing to attract tourists who are interested in the environment. You have the Ecola Tract, for instance, that's being purchased. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, back in May of 2009, which was when the economy was really starting to tank, the citizens of Cannon Beach voted to authorize the city to sell up to $4 million in general obligation bonds to purchase 800 acres that is currently owned by the Oregon Department of Forestry on the east side of Route 101. And it's a very complicated 36-step process that's taken us about 2.5-3 years to pull off. Unfortunately, we just can't pay, you know, $4 million to the State Department of Forestry to buy the 800 acres. We have to do a trade according to state law. So we were very successful in purchasing. We have options to purchase property from the Hamptons, which is a logging company in Oregon. And we're going to trade those, buy those 6 or 7 parcels and trade them to the Department of Forestry for the 800 acres that we really covet on the east side of 101. So this is something that I think says a lot about ecotourism in Cannon Beach when the citizens vote to raise their property taxes to fund this conservation measure.
Mike, why is this important?
Well, the city is... It's beautiful in its own right. I mean, Cannon Beach is regularly touted as one of the most beautiful locations in the United States, maybe the world. I think, you know, we can't just rest on our laurels with the beach and Haystack Rock and Akola Park. I think if we're going to be truly a destination that people that are interested in the environment want to come to, I think we need to do more. And Akola Creek is quite a jewel. The 800 acres, I think, surrounds, 3 or 4 miles of stream corridor reaching up into the Akola Creek watershed. So I think with the development of trails and just the restoration of the salmon population and the environment up there, we're not only making a statement, but we're providing some recreational opportunities that will pay dividends way into the future.
You're listening to Coast Community Radio. This is the After Deadline Show. I'm Nancy McCarthy. You're listening to it on KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM and KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM. We're here today with City Manager Rich Mays and Mayor Mike Morgan, both of Cannon Beach. We're talking about some of the things that Cannon Beach is doing to attract tourism and still maintain its livability. Mike, you mentioned Akola Tract, and I know other things are going on in a sustainable kind of effort. Can you kind of give me some ideas of what else is going on in Cannon Beach?
Well, we've passed adopted a sustainability plan that outlines a whole host of different actions that need to be done to reduce our carbon footprint One activity we're going to do is put in a couple of charging stations at the new public restrooms downtown. We're looking at LED street lighting in the downtown. One of our downtown property owners has agreed to help fund a project that would put 8 street lights, or replace 8 street lights with these LED lamps that use a fraction of the power that the other ones do. And there's just a whole long laundry list of activities that we're trying out. One, we've installed a parking space for the Zip car, and it's had some success. People that are Zipcar subscribers in Portland have discovered it, and it's on their website. So,
have you gotten any feedback about that from them?
Yeah, actually, we've gotten some emails through the Zipcar company, and that their subscribers have, you know, are amazed that there's a space especially for them in downtown Cannon Beach especially on the weekend when it's hard to find a parking space. Right. So, yeah, we've gotten some pretty good feedback. We've gotten some negative feedback, too. But.
Tell me a little bit more about the charging stations, Rich. What's that going to be about? What are people going to be able to do with those charging stations?
Well, the construction on the restrooms is going to be taking place this fall. We're putting in the infrastructure and the wiring right now. and to be able to enable that to happen in the future. We do not have a specific date set up yet. It's going to be a function of budget and the technology and affordability.
So people will be able to take their electric cars and charge it there at the station?
Right.
Will they have to pay for that?
That has not been worked out yet. What we're doing right now is just putting in the infrastructure that will enable us to do it in the future.
And we don't know exactly when that might come about then.
Right.
But you have that all set up.
That's right.
Ready to go.
Right.
Great. Also, I know you've been working very hard on the an inner city trail and have gone through some ins and outs with that. What's the progress on that trail?
We are very happy to be able to expand our original project is what is happening. As you know, the trail would start at East 2nd Street and proceed south around the lagoons and the treatment plant and up into the Sitka Spruce Reserve. And as a result of something we'd worked out with the neighbors on East Monroe Street, we are now taking the trail on the east side of the lagoons. Next week, or actually it's on August 19th, the city, as the applicant, will be appearing before the Design Review Board to get their permission to build the east side as well as the west side of the lagoons for the trail.
It's a loop trail, right?
Yes.
I mean, the new part of the trail is a loop trail.
Yeah, the one I just described would be a loop, whereas before it was more linear.
Mm-hmm.
It will still have that capability to go through the Sitka Spruce Reserve, but now for an additional $50,000 we think it's going to cost us, we can expand that trail, the loop, around the east side of the lagoons to hook up with East 2nd Street also. So we're very excited about the prospect of being able to start construction after the Design Review Board approves it in a couple of weeks.
Do you have any idea when that trail might be done?
Yeah, we think construction will be about 2 months.
Oh, great. Yeah. So we can start doing that sometime late fall then.
That is correct, yeah. We're very excited about that. Yeah.
And the advantage of the loop trail with the parking, is that why you decided to do the loop trail?
Well, we did the loop trail, one, to expand the trail. It's going to almost double the amount of trail that residents and visitors can use. But the other thing it did is it provides a diversion, if you will, from the presidential neighborhood, and provides people the opportunity to come to a certain junction. If they turn right, they can go into the Sitka Spruce Reserve, but if they turn left, they go around the east side of the lagoon. So it not only almost doubles the trail, but it also provides a sort of an alternative route for people.
So it gives them options then.
Exactly. Right.
And this is part of a longer trail that you're planning eventually for the city. Can you describe what that trail would do?
Well, continuing through the Sitka Spruce Reserve, it would go through the Midtown area over north, be west of City Hall, along Spruce Street, and eventually up to the Haystack Hill Scenic Viewpoint, which is at the very south end of Spruce Street. And that has a magnificent overlooking Haystack Rock and the Pacific Ocean.
And it'll go from the north side of Cannon Beach all the way through, right?
Right. We're looking at eventually going across the bridge, across Acola Creek, and have a spur that goes to the where the gate is by Route 101 so people can get off the highway there. And the other spur would go over to Les Shirley Park.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
So this would bring tourists. Do you expect this will bring tourists into Cannon Beach just to do the trail? Or how do you expect visitors will use the trail? Right.
Yeah, I think it'll be for tourists and residents alike. I mean, it's not, you know, we're not just, you know, that we have 1,700 residents in Cannon Beach, so you know, the trail is an opportunity for people that live in, say, the presidential streets, mm-hmm. to come downtown, walk downtown, or bicycle downtown, it's not just a tourist project, tourist promotion project.
I might add that the trail committee, which came up with all the concepts originally, really did design this for the benefit of Cannon Beach residents. Of course, we encourage visitors to use it too, but it was really, it's like the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
That was planned, and just like the trail, for Cannon Beach residents. And if other people want to join and make it more successful, that's just great too. But the main motivation behind both of those was for Cannon Beach citizens.
I know some residents have looked at both the Cola Tract and the trail and various other things as part of a whole nature park or nature area.
Natural history area.
Tell me what that means exactly for Cannon Beach.
Well, this is something that the people associated with the Ecola Watershed group came up with. The thinking there was to look at Cannon Beach as a as an ecotourism destination and develop a natural history area based with the trail being sort of the spine or the focal point of this natural history park. It would include Les Shirley Park, whatever happens with the school. Further south, we have City Park. You've got the trail with the lagoons. You've got the Sitka Spruce Reserve. And the thinking there was to actually use that as the core with, the, again, the trail, but also have offshoots from that in every direction, north, south, east, and west, that would enhance that particular natural history area. To the north, you have Ecola Park. To the west, you have Haystack Rock. To the east, you have the aforementioned 800 acres that we just that we're purchasing. And to the south, you have the Haystack Hill Scenic Viewpoint. So it's a concept that takes in a large area of Cannon Beach and is hopefully something that residents and visitors can enjoy for years to come.
Mike, you mentioned to me earlier that there's a grant being submitted to help enhance that natural history area.
Yeah, the Katie Volke, one of our wonderful local residents, who's also happens to be the executive director of North Coast Land Conservancy, has submitted an application to, I think, the National Park Service,
right,
to study this concept, you know, the natural history area, and if successful, the funding, it wouldn't be a grant as much as the National Park Service would send a team of people down to the to look at this concept and develop some maps and some recommendations for future funding.
So it sounds like the Cannon Beach of the future is going to have a lot more emphasis on arts and a lot of natural areas. People will be able to hike through the city maybe and see the various views that we have and also partake in some of the arts events and arts happenings. Is there anything else in the Cannon Beach's future that you see people being attracted to the city?
Well, certainly the whole watershed, 12,000 acres behind the city, is owned by the Campbell Group, and they've been very cooperative in working with the city. We're going to look at opportunities for maybe expanding some riparian zones that on their property through purchase or easements or whatever. We're looking at a lot of different options, but hopefully the North Coast Land Conservancy, if they acquire some, not the Campbell Group property, but some other lands in the vicinity of Cannon Beach, that will add to the inventory, and it'll be a significant area.
So it'll remain a kind of a green gem on the North Coast.
We hope.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time coming in here and telling us a little bit more what's planned for Cannon Beach. You are listening to KMUN, and this is Nancy McCarthy and the After Deadline Show. Thank you for listening.